Our study tonight is out of Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 1 through 12. The title, God's Millennial Livelihood Provisions for His People. The millennial kingdom that God will provide for His people will display His great grace and goodness. And one particular illustration of that provision is described in His forming a life-giving river that will flow out from under the millennial temple toward the east. In fact, the flow will actually start under the holiest of holies where God's presence is, and will keep out of that. And it'll be God's provision. And everybody will know it's directly from the Lord because it's starting with Him. Well, Ezekiel 47, 1 to 12 provides that description, and we view it for our insight and our edification. I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Ezekiel 47, 1 through 12. Afterward, He, that's the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus, brought me again unto the door of the temple, and behold, water issued out from under the threshold of the temple eastward. For the forefront of the temple stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the temple at the south side of the altar. Then brought He me out the way of the gate on the north, and led me around the way without unto the outer gate by the way that looks to the east. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were up to my ankles. Again he measured 1,000, and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the waters were to my waist. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters in which to swim, a river that could not be passed over. And he said to me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the bank of the river. Now when I had returned, and behold, at the bank of the river, there were very many trees on both sides of the bank of the river. Then he said unto me, These waters issue out towards the east country, that means towards the Arabah, and go down to the desert region, and go down to the Dead Sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. In other words, it will make the waters of the Dead Sea fresh. And it shall come to pass that everything that lives, which moves, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. In other words, every type of fish or animal life form that lives in fresh waters will be there. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come there. And they shall be healed. In other words, they'll be purified of the salt. And everything shall live wherein the river comes. And it shall come to pass that fishermen shall stand upon it from En-Gedi, which is at the west shore, even to En-Eglaim, which is the northwest shore. And there shall be a place to spreading forth fishing nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the Mediterranean Sea, exceeding many. But the miry places, this would be the marshes thereof, the marshes and the other types of places where they would have murky water, thereof shall not be healed, they shall be given to salt. And by the river, upon the bank thereof, on this side or not that side, shall grow all trees for food, whose foliage shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to its months, or every month, because their waters that issue out of the sanctuary. And the fruit thereof shall be for food, and the foliage thereof for healing, or for medicine. Very interesting. After showing Ezekiel the temple complex, the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus led him back to the door of the temple, where he saw water issuing out from below the threshold of the temple door and flowing east as the temple faced east. The prophet noted that the water flowed from under God's presence in the temple around to the south side of the altar and came out from under the temple at its door. Apparently, God didn't want it to go directly under the altar. Who knows? It might have been because the altar was hot, or maybe the altar was especially holy. But anyway, God was making room. So it was flowing to the south side of the altar and came out around the front. As the water flowed east, The pre-incarnate took a measuring line and measured off 1,000 cubits, which should be roughly 1,500 feet, more or less, leading Ezekiel with him to where Ezekiel found the water was ankle deep. When the pre-incarnate Christ measured off a second 1,000 cubits, in other words, this would be 3,000 feet, the water there was knee-deep. And at the third set of 1,000 cubits, which would be 4,500, the river flowed waist-deep. At the measuring of the fourth 1,000 cubit, this would be 6,000, anyway, the cubit distance, the water become a river too deep for Ezekiel to cross on foot. In other words, this water starts out small, and then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until it's a huge river. Then the pre-incarnate Christ asks Ezekiel, "Son of man, have you seen this?" To indicate the abundance of the provision of water coming from the Lord's presence in the temple. In other words, this is remarkable, isn't it? Starting off a little tiny stream, and it gets to be a huge flowing river. Then the pre-incarnate Christ led Ezekiel back to the bank of the river, where he saw that on both banks of the river were many trees that were being nurtured by the river's water. They probably had apple trees, apricot trees, guava trees, mango trees, who knows, fruit of every particular kind, probably some nuts there, maybe English walnut, black walnut, who knows. The pre-incarnate Lord then told Ezekiel that this water flowed toward the eastern region, descending to the Rift Valley, the technical word there in the Hebrew is Arabah, which means the Rift Valley, to the east, where it flowed into the Dead Sea and freshened that body of water. When we visited Israel in 1963 on our last time home from Africa, we swam in the Dead Sea. And it's very hard to sink in that. In fact, we could sit out there just like you're sitting in an armchair. In fact, I've seen photographs of people there with a card table floating on the water, and they're sitting there playing water, and they're just sitting in the water playing cards. So, but afterwards, oh, I tell you, you've got to take a shower. Otherwise, your swimming trunks will rot away because the salt is so intense. And after that, I was a teenager at the time, and I ceased to have acne for 2 weeks. It just completely burned everything out. So it's amazing. So if you're a teen, go to the Dead Sea. Okay. Now, wherever this river that emerged from the presence of the Lord in his temple would flow, every creature that lives in fresh water would thrive there so that there would be swarms of fish in the sea. The river will flow there to make the Dead Sea area fresh so that wherever it goes, it will give life. Indeed, fishermen will stand on the shore of the Dead Sea from En Gedi, which is in the middle of its west bank, to En Eglaim, near Qumran on the northwest bank, for the area will be used for the spreading of nets, since the fish will be numerous as in the Mediterranean Sea. They got a lot of different kinds of fish in the Mediterranean Sea. You can imagine what it's going to be like. The Dead Sea is going to be full of fish. The Sea of Galilee has an astonishing variety of fish today, but the Dead Sea is going to be something else. Well, nevertheless, in great thoughtfulness, God will not cause the water coming from his presence in the temple to freshen everything around the Dead Sea, but the swamps and the marshes beside that body of water will remain salty so that God's people might be able to obtain salt in their livelihood needs. When we were in Israel, our guide told us that there's enough salt in the Dead Sea area right now that if it were mined, they could make a check, I think it's for $10,000 for every person living in the United States. That's how much wealth is there just in the salt, what they can do with it. But anyway, God's going to leave salt because man needs salt. He uses it for a variety of things. There's salt licks for animals that we have. There's salt for food and whatnot. Then all kinds of fruit trees will grow on both sides of the river, and their leaves will not wither or fall, but the trees will bear every month due to the quality of the water that will flow from the temple of God. My grandpa in Chico, California, had two apricot trees, and I love them. I go pick up the drops. They were, on the ground, and just eat them raw. The juice would just run down. And can you imagine being around an apricot tree that produces every month? Oh, what? That's heaven. And then apple trees, you name it, every kind of tree. Indeed, these trees will provide both food and healing by way of their leaves. So healing will be perpetually available because the foliage of these trees will not wither or fall. You can imagine if someone starts to get cancer, apparently there are going to be leaves there, and these trees will help. And you can pick out the particular type of foliage you want or plant that you need for what you need and just use it. So the lesson is, due to the righteousness that will exist in the millennial kingdom, God will send forth a river beginning from under the floor of his presence in the temple that will flow east, increasing in size, depth, and volume as it flows. And it will nurture trees that meet livelihood needs for his people and even freshen the Dead Sea, filling it with every kind of freshwater life. In thoughtfulness, God will keep the marshes and swamps around the Dead Sea salty for his people to obtain salt for their livelihood needs. The trees by the riverbanks will perpetually bear fruit, and their leaves will not wither and fall, so that they will always be useful for healing. Wow. An application. Since God will provide such great blessings for his people by means of a river that flows from his presence in the temple, we know that he desires to bless his people abundantly, and that he is certainly able to do that. So if we then lack God's blessing in our lives, may we examine our hearts in light of Scripture to discern if we need to repent, and if so, confess our sin. Now, not all lack of blessing is because of sin. Some is, for the church. But sometimes suffering occurs. In fact, I think I read in one of my theological books, there are 7 or 8 different reasons why people suffer, and only one of them is because of sin. So if we're not guilty of sin, but we still lack such blessings, a condition that believers today often experience, God wants us to hope for the blessings that await us in eternity and live for him now. See, when the Lord Jesus, in his pre-incarnate body, led Ezekiel to this, he wanted to give the people who were in captivity in Babylon hope. They've been through a traumatic invasion where Babylon had come in and killed a bunch of other people. They've been taken captive to a foreign nation. They were living in a foreign land outside of the land. They were sad. They were disillusioned. They were coming to their senses. But God says, all right, now it's time to encourage the people. It's kind of like our time. We need time to be encouraged in time. We have had difficulties this year, in this past year, as a people. As a nation, we've gone through it. The pandemic's just been one of it. There's been political problems. There's a tremendous amount of distrust in leaders in the nation and so forth. It goes on and on. Financial issues. Well, we need encouragement. And one of the ways God wants us to be encouraged is to focus on the life that is to come. Too many times as Christians, we have fallen for the temptation to fall in love with this world, this life, the things that are here. God doesn't like that. God says, I want you to look to heaven. I wanted you to look for the life that is to come. Now, you and I as believers are coming back with Christ in his second coming, so we're going to be here for this millennial kingdom. We're going to see this river. In fact, there's another passage that tells us something else. The river is not only flowing east. There's a river that's going to come out of the temple. It's going to flow west all the way to the Mediterranean, so it's coming both ways. So we didn't cover that in this passage, but it's going to be there. So God's going to do a freshening all over the place, and it's going to be a real blessing. But we have a wonderful future ahead of us. This life may provide its problems and its challenges and its trials, but there is a life that is to come, and we're going to live in that life eternally for millions and millions and millions of years and then some. Right? So what is this earth? 70, 80 years at the most? You know, it's a temporary life. So we need to be people who live in hope and wait for eternity and long for the coming of the Lord.